Our God is good. Can you say our God is good? So tonight we want to look at this thought, God is good and everything he does is good. I preached a series on this just this past year, and I felt like God told me this afternoon or today that he wanted me to share these promises, some of these promises with you again. I have a good percentage of these memorized. I think I told you this morning I have 100 scriptures memorized in order, and when I'm praying, I meditate on those scriptures and very often get healed and delivered just meditating on those scriptures. So I'm going to give you some of those. Centuries before Christ was born, the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 68 said, "Thou art good and doest good." Everybody says, we know God is good, and I know God could if he would. If he had compassion, he could help me, but you just don't know. I want you to know he does good. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. Thou art good and doest good for those who believe him. Jesus did say, according to your faith, you have to be able to believe his word and speak his word and act on his word. It is difficult for some to believe that Jesus Christ is still going about doing good things for his people. I can testify he is. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to bless you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Can you believe that? If you can believe that God has a plan for you and a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope in the future, raise your hand. We need to believe that. And the devil will tell you, you're a loser, you're not going to make it in life. This is God's got a good plan for every one of us. Everyone watching my live stream, everyone in this room. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. You know, a lot of people say a quote that, but they really don't believe it. You got to get in your spirit and believe it and start looking for that plan to make sure you're in that plan. Proverbs 10, 24. What the wicked dreads will overtake him, what the righteous desire will be granted. And I know a lot of people think, well, serving the devil pays off. In the long run, it does not. And in the end, you're going to need an air conditioner. Serving the devil never pays off in the long run. What the wicked dreads will overtake him. Why do Christians walk around dreading stuff? We're not the wicked if we're washed in the blood. What the righteous desire will be granted. Can you believe that? You've got to believe it. That God, now, it can't be a selfish, self-centered desire. Just, you know, you want something. You're not totally out of a selfish reason, but if you want something to serve people, bless people, to be a better worker, to do better at work, if you want ideas so you can make money, so you can be a giver and help support a lot of people and support a lot of ministries, that's a desire that God can fulfill. Verse 25, when the storm has swept by, I love this one, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. Sometimes God allows a storm so the wicked get blown away. They don't repent. Sooner or later, they're going to get blown away. What they dread is going to overtake them. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. It looks like God is slow with vengeance, but he's giving people time to repent, make things right. But sooner or later, they're going to be blown away. Like the chaff from the wheat. You see, when the storm is swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. The coronavirus was a major virus storm. I mean, it killed millions of people all over the world. And about everybody in his church got it. Including my mother, that was about 97 years old. And they said she had congestive heart failure. And they said, boy, everybody thought if she gets COVID, man, she's gone. She got COVID. Well, I prayed day and night and God healed her of COVID. Joe, my brother, took her back to the doctor and it was gone. You see, the righteous, when the storm has swept by, when the coronavirus swept by, the wicked, many of them were gone, but the righteous made it through. Can you say amen? One or two of our people went to heaven, but they probably went anyway. Well, just one. But they told me they had some serious problems. And so God just took them during that time. I don't think it was really COVID. The coronavirus was a major virus storm, but the Lord took care of us. And a lot of churches, it just wiped them out. But guess what? God bless His church, and our income went up. Income went up. Couldn't take an offering because the government didn't want me passing the bag. The bag might go by you, and you get a virus and die. So I couldn't pass the bag. I said, well, just drop the money in the bucket. The devil says, well, that's the end of you. They're not going to drop any money in that bucket. But the giving went up. So we just kept doing it that way. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Read that with me. It is He who gives you 1, 2, 11. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Again, it is He who gives me the ability to produce wealth. Come on. It is He, the Lord God, who gives me the ability to produce wealth. You think you're so hot because you've been able to make a little money? God gave you that ability. And He wants to double it and increase it if He can trust you with the money you have. I believe that. And He's doing that for some. Some condemn wealthy people because of their wealth. But King David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. A lot of people condemn people who really have worked hard and made a lot of money. Make it sound like they're the criminals in the United States of America. They're not criminals. They're people who God has blessed and honored. I'm just reading the Bible. Health, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Say all. Say I'm all. Well, if I hit a scripture that really turns you on, write down the reference, memorize it, and quote it for the rest of your life. And if you don't get it written down in time, that's one reason I like to put them up there. So leave the scriptures up there as long as you can so these people have time to write it down. But you can come to me after church and I'll give it to you if you didn't get it. Wealth and honor comes from the Lord. He is good and does good. This is my faith. I believe this. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exhort and give strength to all. I'm kind of amazed myself at the strength God's given me today. Had to eat a bite in 21 days. I preached twice this morning, back to back, prayed for a whole bunch of people each service, and went home, had to work on this message. I had some notes, of course, with these scriptures, but I had to rework it. And didn't have them long to do it. I said, God, just anoint it. And I felt like He said, what I want you to do is give them the scriptures, amen, the promises. But, man, I feel better right now than I have in a long time. I'm not going to ask you if I look better. Psalm 41, verse 1. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. Now, you want to be blessed, you got to bless other people. When we take an offering for needy people and benevolence and that kind of thing, you need to be sure you obey God in your giving. Amen. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. This is one I have memorized. If you love people, help people, bless people, the Lord will deliver you in your day of trouble. Then verse 3, the Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. The Lord will sustain her upon her sick bed. In her illness, his illness, you restore him, her to health. Those three things. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, you will restore him to health. Amen. Carmen had cancer, and he's all over Facebook. Everybody's talking about Carmen dying with cancer. And we had him to come here for a Sunday morning service, and he did it several times. And this one time, of course, Dottie and I would pick him up to the airport and then take him to lunch and then take him back to the airport the next day. And so on Sunday, after he spoke, I gave him the scripture. Why? Because that Saturday night I was praying, meditating on that scripture, and I was claiming it for myself. And the Lord really quickened it to my spirit. And I said, thank you, Lord. He said, that's not for you. That's for Carmen. You give that scripture to Carmen. So I gave it to Carmen. He sat there at the table. He read it 3 or 4 times, didn't he, Dottie? Dottie liked Carmen. She liked me a whole lot better, but she liked his music. She doesn't like my music. Thank you, Jesus. He read that over and over. He'll deliver him in trouble. The Lord will deliver him from trouble. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. He said, it says, in his illness, you restore him to health. I said, God gave that to you. And they reported later that the cancer disappeared. And he came back another Sunday a year or so later, and I reminded him, I said, remember that scripture I gave you? Steal your scripture. And he died from something else. Went to the hospital and got sepsis or something. Of all things. Hey, if God wants you in heaven, you're going. But in his illness, you restore him to health. You need that? You need that verse? You need it? Then memorize it. Wealth and honor come from you. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. You've been sick? God says he's going to take care of you. Sustain you. You're going to get through it. Just like Nancy. They gave up on her. Doctors did. They thought she was almost didn't even do the surgery. But I'm sure there's angels standing there that nudged them. You do the surgery. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him the health. Health. The word of God says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Are you facing a fearful situation at work or in your business or in your family, in your home or in your community? Are you facing a giant? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Do you have Egyptians in your life, and they're on your case? I believe God is saying that to someone right now. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord. Salvation, in this case, can be deliverance, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. Read that with me. The Lord will fight for you. Read again. The Lord will fight for you. Now say me. The Lord will fight for me. And you shall hold your peace. Stand still and watch God work the miracle you need. A lot of times I'm quoting it, facing a difficult situation. Lord, I'm standing still. God gave me that verse personally a long time ago. And I'm standing still and I'm watching you fix this. The Lord gave them this word after Moses led them out of slavery, Egyptian slavery, the Hebrew people. And God is leading them with a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, and it leads them right into a trap. Sometimes it looks like God got lost. He doesn't know where he's going. God, why am I here? I'm following you. And they looked, and here was the Red Sea, and here was a row of mountains coming down, and there was no place to go. And Pharaoh decided he wanted his slaves back. And he loaded up all of his chariots, got all of his horsemen with their spears and swords and the shields. And the Israelites looked up, and here they come. They could see the dust. I've seen the movie. They could see the dust coming up. And they panicked, started screaming, oh, we're dead. Pharaoh's going to kill us all. That's when the Lord said, stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's when you need a word like that, buddy. And you can get it. That cloud that was leading them turned into a pillar of fire and went behind them and stood between them and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians couldn't get to them all night. The fire held them back. And while the fire is holding them back, and the Bible says there's an angel in that cloud, God is drying out the bottom of the Red Sea. He said, do you believe that? I absolutely believe it. The reason people don't believe miracles in the Bible is because they never had a miracle themselves. In my life, I've had miracles to me just as big as that. He dried out the bottom of the Red Sea. They marched through. And the Egyptian says, well, if they can do it, we can do it. So they marched down into the Red Sea, but they didn't have God holding the water back for them. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. God says, look, you've tormented my people enough. This is it. The water came back, and they all drowned. Amen. Stand ye still and see the So well, you just don't understand. My situation is totally impossible. Do you not think that situation was impossible for the Hebrews, for Israel? It was impossible. There's absolutely no way they could survive that. But God. Say, but God. God just sent me here tonight to give you these promises. Fear ye not, stand ye still, and see the deliverance, the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. Exodus 23, verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, there you go. You got to do what he tells you to do. You need to fast and pray until you know what God told you to do, and then you do it. You believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy unto your enemies. You got to obey. You got to go to church. If he tells you to go to church, and does, do not forsake the assembly yourselves together. You need to be in church. If he tells you to give to something, give. Just know it's God and then do it. I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee. I don't see him, but I got an angel going before me according to this. You mess with me, you're going to get slapped by an angel. Same for all of us. God says plainly, he's given his angel charge over us to keep us in all of our ways and to bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Psalm 91. You see, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Think of that. God fighting my battles. I've watched him over the years. Man, he does fight my battles. I had a guy way years ago. He's still over there in that, what is now the fellowship hall or the gym. And this guy won't talk to me. And in my spirit, God just showed me, this guy's a smart aleck. He's coming to try to bawl you out about something. So I had my gun there in the drawer. I did not. I didn't need a gun. And so he came in, and he hummed and hollered, and he stuttered and stammered, and finally said, well, I got to go, and left. I thought, what in the world was that about? And I already knew that he was mad about something. And so he ran into somebody, like at Walmart somewhere, and he said, that bear covers and puts fear on people. Said he put fear on me. I don't blame you for being afraid of this. You should quiver in your boots. That fear wasn't coming from me. God was saying, you touch him, and I'm going to knock you cross-eyed. Amen. It says that God would send his terror ahead of us, and our enemies would turn their backs and run. When Jacob went home, you know, from hanging out with Laban, he became very wealthy. And on his way back, Esau met him. And God fixed that relationship. They hugged each other, restored the relationship. But it says as they went back that God sent a spirit of fear ahead of them, so everyone was afraid of them. So God can will protect you. And people who might harm you, they have a fear of you. And you need to know your authority. Because you have authority over demonized people. If you feel like somebody's trying to harm you or your family, take authority over you and bind them up. If you feel like God is trying, the devil's trying to attack you, use the demonized people, person, take authority over them and bind up. So you can't touch me. I'm the property of God. I pray for a lady here during the fast. She only comes to church here in the fast. She comes every night for the fast. And she came up and she said, I haven't been able to get my arms above right here. And we prayed there on the altar. She said, look. This just happened this week. And we got to talking there a little bit after church. And we're talking about the authority of the Lord. And she said she was out walking one night. I think she was walking her dog. It's dark, but I think she was close to her house. And as she was walking, she saw a 2x2 laying on the side of the road. And she picked it up. She said, well, in case I come upon a bad dog, I got this. And she noticed this guy coming up real quick behind her. And the Holy Spirit said, turn to him and face him. So she turned around and faced him with that stick. And the power of God came on her and he ran. She just told me that this week. I hadn't heard that one before. But I have no problem believing it. You don't have a clue to who you are. You're special. And you need to obey him. I need to obey him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. Psalm 37 verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Now, that is a tough one for some of us. Okay. No. I want to do it yesterday. Wait on the Lord. Oh, come on, Lord. I want it now. Wait. There's a time and a season for everything. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait. I say it like this. Wait on the Lord until you hear from God. And then it says, keep his way. Don't get discouraged and start casting away your confidence and saying negative stuff. Live a life pleasing to him. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Read again. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. The wicked will be cut off from the land and you'll inherit it. What land do you have your eye on? I mean, you believe in God for a house, piece of property. You feel in your spirit that God wants you to have a piece of property. And that's why Marty and Nancy live way out in the middle of the country. They felt like God wanted them to have a farm. I kept telling them, you're getting older. You don't need to be out there trying to take care of farm animals and all this stuff. You need to just stay here in Knoxville, stay close to the hospital. But they wouldn't listen to anything. Their wonderful, intelligent, wise pastor was telling them. So they bought this farm way out in the middle of nowhere. But that was the desire of her heart, and I believe God gave it to them. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. What is it you're dreaming about? God can exalt you. And he said, well, I'm not able to do that. He can exalt you so that you'll be able to do it and bless you financially so you'll be able to. Psalm 7, verse 15. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he's made. Now, what is that about? As God blesses you, there's going to be people planning your demise. And this says, whatever they plan for you, they're going to fall into it. Don't be messing with a man or woman of God. You're going to fall in the ditch you dug or in the pit you dug. You need this one? Who thinks you need this? You don't have to raise your hand, but is anyone here you need this? He who digs a pit and scoops it out falls into the pit he's made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. Be careful about messing with the man or the woman of God. You may be mad at them and you want to see them get a hard lick. You better be careful. You're going to get the hard lick. Not talking you, but the people who would give you a hard lick. They're going to get the hard lick. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. Now, maybe you don't need this, but I like it. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Psalm 92, verse 12. I told you I wasn't going to keep you too long. So I'm moving along pretty good. Are these pretty good promises? Has anybody found at least one that you can lay claim to? Amen. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 14, they will still, and I claim this every day, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. And I found another scripture that says, in old age, I am the same. The same God has been taking care of me all these years. If I do get old, He's going to take care of me. And He'll keep all the same promises He made to me when I was younger. In old age, I am the same. Same God, same promises. They will still bear fruit in old age. So don't be talking to me about how old you are. And I was out eating lunch with a guy many years ago. And he said, I just can't do what I used to do. I said, how old are you? I'm 47. I said, you kidding me? What do you mean you can't do what you used to do? I was older than he was. I mean, why do people think like that? I'm not going to think like that. I kid around some about age, but when I get serious, I tell the devil where to go. You get your hands off of me, boy. They'll bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. They bear fruit in old age. Evildoers are destroyed, but the righteous flourish. Don't ever get your eye on some evil person that's doing good right now, because they won't be doing so good later on. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man who trusts in man. Is your trust in men, you're headed for real trouble. That's what happens to a lot of Christians. They get sick and they put their trust in a doctor. Now, don't you misunderstand. My doctor just spent 3 nights teaching here. I love doctors. I love my doctor. And God has given them to help us. But your trust cannot be in a man, because they can make mistakes. And if I'm going to go to a doctor, I'm going to pray and ask God to show me what doctor. Amen. I'm not trusting doctors. I'm trusting God to get me to the right doctor, and then trust God that He's going to anoint him to help me if I need help. Yeah. Now look, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. So some of these sound a little negative, but we can bring bad things on ourselves if we do not hear and obey the voice of God. And if we put trust in people instead of God, we can wind up in big trouble. Do you trust lawyers more than God? You trust bankers more than God? You trust doctors more than God? You trust preachers more than God? And then it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Do you lean on flesh? Do you depend on flesh? Even your own flesh? Do you depend on your own intellect? Especially men. I've heard men say, well, I'm smart. I'm strong. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I can take care of myself. That guy is headed for trouble. I can do all things through Christ, which enables me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. Now, thanks be unto God. Y'all pay attention. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. My faith and trust is in God. He's going to help me to win. Every time. One way or the other. And when it looks like I lost, I didn't. I didn't lose. And then verse 7 here says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You see exactly the opposite. You put your trust in man, you're going to go down. You put your trust in God, and you'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that shall spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So it says those who trust in God, even when everybody else is not prospering, they'll be like a tree planted by the river, planted by the waters, and they'll bear fruit in a drought. That's why we can never put our confidence. Devil, get out of here. This is why we never can put our confidence in the economy. It doesn't matter what the world's economy is doing. It's God's economy that I'm looking to. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, because I'm not trusting in the economy. I'm trusting in God. neither cease from yielding fruit, shall not cease from producing. Amen. Trusting in the Lord brings a blessing. The servants of the Lord can bring forth fruit in the year of drought. Have y'all had enough? How many still need a scripture? Okay. Just one more. Many as you need. Many as we need. Is this good? Did I hear from God? 2 Chronicles 16, 12. In the 39th year of his reign. Now here's a negative. You want to watch out for this one. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. We're just talking about putting your trust in man. In the 39th year of his reign, King Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Big mistake. Verse 13, and it didn't say he was wrong to go to the physicians. It just said he put his trust in them. And then even that really didn't put his faith in God at all. Though his disease was severe, even his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord. Don't be guilty of that. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. We're watching a Christian say, oh, look at that wonderful Christian. Oh, God let them be destroyed. No, God didn't let them be destroyed. They messed up on some of these things. And I've messed up, got myself in trouble too. But if you cry out to God, he'll get you out. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He says, if you're really trying to serve me and obey me, even if you trip up and fall, my angels will bear you up. You can hardly miss on this plan of salvation if you believe this word and do it. Verse 13, then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his father. You see, the Bible here says Asa was a righteous man, but he put his trust in man and died. Listen, we're responsible for where we put our trust. See, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Asa died from a lack of trust in God. Doctors are a gift, but our trust must be in the Lord. Because doctors can make mistakes. Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. He lifts up the oppressed. The oppressed and oppressed is what that means, I believe. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down with depression, oppression. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. The Lord watches over the alien and sustain the fatherless and the widow. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. I believe anybody can claim that. But these people had been abused because they'd been taken into slavery by Nebuchadnezzar because they had rebelled against God. Israel had rebelled against God, so God took a remnant of them who trusted him and took them into captivity. But God was with them all the way and brought them back. For I will restore health unto thee and will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. And during their slavery, they had some hurts and abuse. So God says, I'm going to restore you to health. And I believe it meant emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, every way. I'm going to restore you to health and heal your wounds. I sprained my ankle really bad in Lexington. The doctor said it couldn't have been any worse without being broken. And God gave me that verse, heal their wounds. God will heal your wounds, your sprained ankles. Where's Stephanie? That's not a sprained ankle. That's much worse. But God heals our ankles. Amen. Isaiah 30, verse 19. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you'll weep no more. How gracious he'll be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Can you claim that? Wow. You've been depressed. Somebody disappointed you. Life has just kind of rained on you. It says that we rule and reign in life, not life raining on us, but sometimes it does. And we got to get a hold of God and get dried out, you know, from being rained on. Oh, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry out for help. What happens if you don't cry out for help? Then what? You see, there's some negative built in. You've got to cry out to God. And when you do cry out to God, you got to do what he tells you to do. Sometimes we're saying, oh, why don't God help me? Well, he's given you authority and he's told you what to do. You need to stand up and use your authority. That sickness keeps coming back. Stand up and say, you're not coming back anymore. Get out. That's the way I've had to do strep now for 40-something years. You're not putting that on me, devil. As soon as he hears, he'll answer. Do you see that? Oh, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, as soon as he hears. Say, as soon as he hears, he will answer. It could get delayed, like in the case of Daniel, where this demon spirit hindered the angel. But Daniel didn't give up. He didn't cast away his faith. He kept praying and fasting and believing God. And the angel showed up and he said, wow, you don't believe what I've been through. But he said, the first time you prayed, God heard you and he sent me right then. I just had a little problem. The demons slowed me up. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Now, that can be a negative too. You got to say, I'm not going to be afraid of this thing. My God is with me. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. I refuse to quiver in my boots because I got a big God. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. You need to memorize that and just, it should be easy. And just say that when you feel fear coming on. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? No man can do anything to me as long as I know who I am and stand in faith and rebuke the devil and take authority over demonized people. You remember Paul and Elymas? Elymas, the sorcerer. Did I get that name right? That's right, I think. And Paul says, you devil, you know. And he says, you're going to be temporarily blind. And he went blind right there. And had to get somebody to lead him out. Do you believe you have that kind of authority? I'm telling you, I do. I got that kind of authority, and I've used it. You got it too. Amen. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can Elymas do to me? What can man do to me? Verse 7, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. Say, he is my helper. Now, if you may not feel like you need any of the others, but I guarantee you need this one. The Lord is my helper. Damon, when you're climbing up to that sign half a mile up in the air, you need to be saying, the Lord is my helper. And if I dash my foot against a stone, the angel will bear me up so I don't hit this ground. Okay, believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. If the Lord is our helper, there is nothing to fear. But that doesn't mean we can take a vacation from fasting and praying and meditating on the Word. That has to be a daily thing. The Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. How do I know that? Give us this day our daily bread. You say, well, I asked for bread 2 weeks ago. Well, you need to ask every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us. You say, well, why? I don't know why. Jesus said pray that. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm glad you came to church so far. Now, look at this, verse 13. Psalm 118, verse 13. I was pushed back and about to fall. I was in real trouble. Boy, I've been there. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Many times I have been about to collapse, about to sink, about to go down for the third time. But God stretched forth his hand and helped me. Verse 15 says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord takes care of us. Look at this. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Can you say, praise the Lord? Verse 15, and here's what happens. When you realize the Lord is taking care of you, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. When God delivers us, we need to spend some time praising God and adoring him and worshiping him and thanking him. And we need to spend extra time in his presence, giving him thanks and praise. Verse 17, I will not die but live. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Never give up. The Lord will help all who serve him. You see, when he gives us victory, we are to proclaim what he has done. That is the real reason we're here, is to glorify him, to worship him, to adore him, and tell everybody how good he has been to us. The Bible says that we are here to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness. Let's stand.